Dear friends, yesterday I had the beautiful opportunity to celebrate a wedding mass, and I love celebrating weddings, and at the end of my homily, I usually tell the bride and groom, I say, there's one last thought that I want to leave you with, that is before you make your exchange of vows. And I tell them, I say, always remember that marriage is your pathway to heaven. Then I look at the bride and the groom, and I tell them that their pathway to heaven has a name, and its name is the name of their spouse. And I tell them that this is your ultimate goal, of the ultimate goal of Christian marriage, is to bring each other to heaven. Right? That's the task that they are entrusted with. To bring each other to heaven, where we hope to see God face to face for all eternity. It's providential that this is the reality that Jesus speaks about in the gospel this morning. Jesus is challenged by the Sadducees, okay? They were a sect of Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in the afterlife. They thought that at the end of life, it was just it, right? And so they challenge Jesus, and they bring in this question of marriage. They ask him, they say, if a woman's husband dies and she remarries after his death, in the afterlife, whose husband will that woman have, right? Whose wife will she be? So they want to disprove the resurrection by asking these confusing questions and trying to trap Jesus almost. But they ask him, how will they determine who her legitimate spouse is in heaven? So Jesus' response, it's very clear, but also it's very shocking. It can be shocking for us. Because when Jesus responds, he responds very simply. He says that marriage as we know it, does not exist in the afterlife. Okay? So this is how our Lord responds. He says, the children of this age, that is, in this life, he says, marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead, that is, the reality of heaven, he says, neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so marriage, as we know it in this life, that is the permanent and faithful union of a man and a woman that brings forth the life of children, this reality will not exist as such in the next life. Now, don't get Jesus wrong, or he's not saying anything about like that we won't know, that you won't know your spouse or your children or loved ones in heaven. He's not saying that. He's just saying that marriage as it's lived out in this life will not exist as such in heaven. And the reason is because in heaven there is a different sort of marriage. In heaven there will be a marital union with God. Okay? That's why in the book of Revelation, St. John, when St. John receives his vision of heaven, he describes it. How does he describe it? As the wedding banquet of the Lamb, right? So he describes his primary image to describe heaven is a wedding banquet. And so the reason that God has given us marriage, the reason that God has given us also the sacrament of the Eucharist, is to prepare us for that heavenly reality that is also a marriage. You see, marriage in this life prepares us for a marital union with God in heaven, just as the Holy Eucharist prepares us for this marital union, this marriage in heaven. So we have two altars. Take this, for instance, the altar of the Mass, the altar of the Eucharist. What happens in the Holy Mass? Jesus Jesus is the divine bridegroom, right? This is an image of from St. Paul. Jesus is the groom, and the church is his bride. And what does he do? On the cross and in the Mass, he says, "This is my body." And he gives himself to his bride. In Holy Communion, there is a one-flesh union that brings forth life, brings forth the life of grace in our souls. The second altar is this altar of marriage, the altar of the marriage bed, where husband and wife give a complete gift of themselves to one another in a one-flesh union, bringing forth the life of children, the greatest gift that God gives to married couples. You see, so in both the Eucharist and in the sacrament of holy matrimony, there is this complete gift of self that brings forth life. Both altars prepare us for heaven, for that marriage banquet. There's also a third altar, and this third altar is where the family eats, where we receive food as a gift from God. And I would encourage, especially families with children still at home, with kids still at home, definitely to eat together. You know, this is a practice that that slowly we've, as a society, many people have gotten away from. But something that is very and so important, part and parcel to family life. In family life, there can be no other more intimate moment than sharing a meal together, than eating together. Parents and children around a table. It's there that something very special can take place, especially the Sunday meal, the meal on the Lord's Day. I would encourage, you know, families, couples, and families with children to read Scripture, together as a family around the dinner table. It is a way that the faith can be transmitted, can be handed on to children in a very real and a very beautiful way. And it helps us, adults as well, parents as well, it helps us to understand how Scripture, how the Word of God can be present in our life and how it can be relevant and real for us, right? The family listens to a passage from Scripture. It can be the Sunday Gospel, or a reading from the Old Testament or the New Testament. Parents can ask children, "How does this word enlighten your life?" Then they can ask them about problems that might be happening, problems at school or with their brothers and sisters, maybe within themselves, right? This can be a very beautiful way, because families can find a real way of encountering the Lord and spending time sharing a meal with one another. Isn't this what we all desire? We all desire to encounter the Lord, to come into a real personal relationship and friendship with him. We want to encounter the Lord in our families, in our friends. We encounter the Lord when marriage vows are faithfully lived out. We encounter him in his word. We encounter him here, most especially in the Mass. And it's in encountering him, knowing of his love for us, and to love as he loves us. This alone prepares us for heaven. This alone prepares us for that union with God, the wedding banquet of the Lamb, to which we are all called. May it be so. Amen.